2, Chav Zayin, Omid Aleph, the last line going on to Chav Zayin, Omid Beis on top. And that's Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Let's just review what he's trying to come to do to replace a statement of Rav Papa that we studied in the previous year on Daf Chav Zayin Omid Aleph. And we were talking about reconciling two different brisos that came from the same Beis Medrash in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. And in the first Rabbi Shmuel, there was a statement that we're going to derive from Negoim. We're talking about Negei Begodim, that just like the word Beged in the parish of Negoim refers specifically to Tzemer Upishton, Afkol, so to any Beged, any word Beged in the Torah is coming to derive that conclusion that it's got to be Tzemer Upishton. The Gemara, in the name of Rapapa, tried to suggest a solution that this equation between Negei Begodim and your universal Beged was coming to teach us something about Kilayim, and that is that Kilayim is only violated in a mixture of Tzemer Ufishtim, but the Gemara rejects that because that's pretty much explicit in the Pasuk. I wouldn't have needed such an equation in order to derive that conclusion. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, using that same terminology of Rabbi Shmuel in the first Braisa of Af Kol Tzemer Upishton, now reinterprets it to tell me something like Suya Tzitzis, that the mitzvah of Tzitzis, which is written in Parshas Shlach, and the Torah says, V'yasulem Tzitzis al kafei b'gdeihem, we're going to derive from the Goyim that only Begodim that are made of Tzemer Ufishtin are included in Beged, and they generate a Chiyuv of Tzitzis. Begodim that are made from other Minim, like we mentioned the possibility of making a Beged out of cotton, that would not generate a mitzvah of Tzitzis, certainly not on a Doraisa level, it might be Drabanon. However, if you talk about the Parsha of Tuma Sheretz, so we had that extra drasha of O Beged in the Parsha of Sheretz that told us that any min of Beged is Makabel Tuma in Tumas Maga. Again, we're not talking about Tumas Negoyim, but in Maga, even if it's only Sholosh al Sholosh Etzbos. So now the question is, do we really need a Hekesh to Nigei Begodim in order to establish that the mitzvah of Tzitzis only applies to Tzemer Ufishtin? And the Gemara asks the following question. Tzitzis Behedyaksiv. We have Tzitzis explicitly in the Torah as referring to Tzemer Ufishtin. As it says in Parshas Ki Teitze, Lo Tilbash Shatnez Tzemer Ufishtin Yachtov, and then immediately in the next pasuk it says, Gedilim Tassel Chal Arbas Kanfos Ksuscha. So from the smichus of these two psukim, we have to derive the conclusion that Begodim, in this context, whether it be Kilayim or the mitzvah of Tzitzis, are Dafka Begodim made of Tzemer Ufishtin, as the pasuk says by Kilayim, we apply that ipso facto to Tzitzis. So once again, why do I need any sort of an equation to Tumas Negoyim in order to derive the conclusion that Tzitzis, no Heges, only in Tzemer Ufishtin? So Gemara answers, Salka Daitchamina, I would have thought Kidur Rava. Now, Rava is going to darshan the Psukim. He has two parshios of Tzitzis, one in Shlach and one in Ki Teitze, and there seems to be a stira between the two. And based on the statement of Rava, we're going to have a Havamina that the Smichus HaKsuvim between Shatnez and Tzitzis is not coming to teach us which material of a Beged is Chayiv Tzitzis. It's coming to teach us that the Chutei HaTzitzis themselves have to be from Tzemer Ufishtin. That doesn't reflect on the Beged. The Beged might be Chayiv in Tzitzis even if it's made from other Minim, like the case of cotton that we mentioned. The Rava Rami, Here was Rava's stira between two psukim with regard to tzitzis ksiv. In Parsha Shlach it says, V'yasu lahem tzitzis al kamfei b'gdehem u'darsom, v'nasnu al tzitzis hakanof psil tcheles. That word hakanof is superfluous because it already says earlier kamfei b'gdehem. And it should have been enough for this second pasuk to say v'nasnu al tzitzis psil tcheles. So what is the extra word hakanof teaching us? And Rava derives from the extra word hakanof min hakanof, which means that the Torah is teaching us that the tzitzis, meaning the chutei tzitzis, should be made dafka from the min hakanof, from the beged, or in this case the corner of the beged, to which these tzitzis are being attached. So it means every min beged is, the Torah is telling you, put tzitzis from that min. So let's say, for example, you had a talis that was made of cotton or was made of silk. Then the tzitzis and the chutei tzitzis would have to be made from either cotton or silk. And the pasuk is telling me that with regard to chutei lavan, because that's called tzitzis hakanof, they should be made from min hakanof. And al tzitzis hakanof is telling you to add chutei tcheles to the chutei lavan. Now, chutei tcheles, by definition, as the Gemara says in Yevamos Daf Dalet Amud Beis, have to be made from tzemer for all minei begadim. But as far as chutei lavan is concerned, the pasuk hakanof mimin kanof is teaching me that the chutei lavan should be made of the same material of the beged. And we're talking about all materials, which means, again, if we had a silk beged, then the chutei tzitzis would be made of silk. That's the impression that we would derive from the parash in Shlach. But now, uksiv, we have a parash in Kiteitze where it says, Losil bashatneis tzemeru fishtim yachdov. And the pasuk afterwards says, Gedilim tasa lecha. And we're going to derive from that smichus apsukim that in all cases of mineh b'gadim, it's tzemer, mitzemer u'pishtan tasa lecha. Right? The pasuk says that it's got to be tzemer u'fishtim, and it says gedilim tasa lecha. Again, the word gedilim is referring to tzemer u'pishtim, which I mentioned explicitly in the previous pasuk with regard to kelayim. So that means that the tzitzis don't have to be mimina beget, and the tzitzis just have to be from tzemer u'pishtan. And if they're from tzemer u'pishtan, that's fine, and we don't need it to be mimin kanof, because the Torah is emphasizing here tasa lecha of tzemer u'pishtan. So the chutim should be made of tzemer u'pishtan. Those are your two choices. So if that be the case, then the tzitzis don't have to reflect on the min kanof, on the min abeged, as long as they're tzemeru fisht in haketza. So how do we reconcile this apparent contradiction? And Rava answers, tzemeru fisht in potrim bein b'minam bein shalo b'minam shar minim b'minam potrim shalo b'minam ein potrim. Which means that although, as a general rule, we have the parsha in Shlach that's teaching me min kanof, and that would imply that whatever the nature of the beged is, if it's a beged meshi, the chutim can be made, chutei tzitz can be made of meshi. But we now have to change that in light of the parsha in Kiteitze, which is placing tzemeru pishtin on a very special level, that tzemeru pishtin could work if the chutim are made from either of the two, for no matter what the beged is made of, whatever the bin kanof is. So that, for example, you could attach tzitzis made of tzemer onto a beged of meshi, or for that matter, tzitzis made of pishtan onto a beged of tzemer. However, if you're making chutim from other minim, then that can only work if you have hakanaf min hakanaf. So, for example, if you would make a pair of tzitzis, chutei tzitzis, out of meshi, that would not help for any other beged other than a beged of meshi. It's only the tzemer upishtan that has that special power that no matter what the beged is made of. But in any event, salka daitach, according to the drush of Rava, we would have the, we would certainly draw the conclusion that other minim are included in the chovas tzitzis. Meaning the extra drush of hakanaf, min hakanaf according to Rava, is telling me some sort of halacha that goes beyond a beged of tzemer pishtin. Because with regard, if the beged is made of tzemer pishtin, I don't need hakanaf to teach me any chidushim, because then for sure I know that I can use, tzemer on a beged of pishtin, and vice versa. The min hakanaf is coming to teach you about cases where you made the begadim from other minim other than tzemer pishtin, and now we're limiting you, restricting you, that if you're making the chutim from any of these materials, then it has to match the beged. It's got to be min hakanaf. By the way, on the side, I just want to mention that Rashi has a shita, not here, but in Menachos, that min hakanaf also applies to the color of the tzitzis. I was wondering, people are now putting on all sorts of talasim with all sorts of colors. It's not my minig. And I was wondering, if you wanted to satisfy Rashi Shita, you would have to paint the tzitzios. But I don't think anyone's doing that. So that's an issue. But anyway, Kamash Malon, now we go back to the Tana de Beir Rabbi Shmuel, and we have now a Binyan Av between Nigei Begadim, where the Torah says Beged, and it means only, exclusively, Tzemer Pishtan. Only Tzemer Pishtan is Mekabel Tumas Negayim. Other Begadim of other Minim are not Mekabel Tumas Negayim. And now we're going to derive from that to Tzitzis, that a Beged for Tzitzis has got to be Tzemer Pishtan. And that means that other minim would not generate a chiv tzitzis. So in the light of this kamash malon, what is hakanaf, mimin hakanaf, teaching me? So here we have Rashi and perhaps other Rishonim. Let's see Rashi first. Rashi seems to indicate that the word hakanaf is not coming to teach you about the minim of chutim, but rather it's coming to teach you about the mitzvah of tzitzis b'shnei minei tzeva. And when it says psil tcheles, put on a psil tcheles, which means two chutim of tcheles, that's what it means when it refers to min hakanaf, which means that we divide up the chutim according to Rashi Shita, half will be tcheles and half will be lavan. The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Tzitzis on tzitzis hakanaf says that you need two chutim of white tzitzis, which is equal to the tzeva of the kanaf, because they're assuming the talus would have a white color. And the Ravid has a different shita. The Ravid disagrees. Now it comes out according to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak that according to the Tana de Beir Rabbi Shmuel, we're going to derive from Negoim, as far as tzitzis is concerned, that only Bigdei Tzemer Upishtin are chayiv in tzitzis. On the other hand, as we said earlier, just to reiterate, when it comes to Trotzim, to be Mekabel Tumas Maga, we're going to derive from O Beged in the Parsha of Shrotzim, that even Begadim made of other Minim are Mekabel Tumah. The Gemara now asks the following Kasha: Omer of Acha Brei de Rav of Ashi, Litana de Beir Rabbi Yishmael, according to the interpretation here of Rav Yitzchak, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak in Torah Beir Yishmael, Maishna leinyan tuma demarabe shar begadim dechsivo beged is hachinami lema lerabo shar begadim me asher tchasuba. Once you have the ribui of o beged, from which we derive that other begadim are mekabel tumas shrotzim with tumas maga, then why don't we have a parallel drasha ribui in tzitzis, when the Torah says in Parshas Ki Teitzei Gedilim Taseh Lecha al arba kanfos ksuscha asher techasev ba, then we have asher techasev ba as an extra superfluous phrase here. Lema, we should say l'rabo shar begodim. Maybe it's coming to tell you that other begodim made of other materials like cotton or silk, even though they're not semeru pishtim, nevertheless the chayv in tzitzis. And this we derive from the pasuk asher techasaba. So now the Gemara is going to embark upon a whole discussion about what we in fact derive from asher techasaba, and what ribui in hilchas tzitzis will be derived from asher techasaba. But I think I'd like to take a little bit of a time period now to summarize the various shitas as far as Kabbalas Tumas Negoyim in Begodim and Kabbalas Tumas Shrotzim in Maga of Shrotzim on Begodim. And again, we're going to have to break this down into a few different categories. First of all, we have to speak about the min of the Beged, and we're going to break that into two subcategories. One will be Tzemer Opishton, and the other is Sharminim. And then from there, we're going to take off to an entire slew variation of different Shitos. So let's begin with the Shita of Rabbi Shim ben Elazar and Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel the first and Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel the second. According to Abaye, both in Negoim and in Shrotzim, in Tzemeru Pishtan, the size of the Beged is Sholosh al Sholosh Etzbos, and it's Mekabel Tuma at that very small size of an Orig, a piece of cloth, that's Sholosh al Sholosh. And according to Abaye, that's true for Tzemeru Pishtan, according to all the various Tanoim. Now let's talk about Rava. Now, in Rava it becomes a little bit complicated because we have Rava before he changed his mind and Rava after he changed his mind. Although, as we said yesterday, the Gemara doesn't always assume, according to everyone, that Rava actually changed his mind. But let's go according to that Lishna, that Rava changed his mind. So now, in the case of all the Tanoim, according to Rava, before Rava changed his mind, then in both in Negoim and in Shrotzim, the minimum size in Tzemeru Pishtan would be Sholosh al Sholosh Etzbos. Okay, that's going to change when we get to Sharminim, as we'll soon see. So let's now go back to Sharminim, actually, and let's see Abaye and Rava, again, the original Rava in Sharminim. So in Abaye, it's pretty simple, pretty straightforward, but there's going to be one exception. Abaye, if you recall, according to Rav Shim ben Elazar, understood that there's no tumas begodim, neither in Negoim nor in Shrotzim, in Shar Minim. And the truth is that that's also the case of Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel the first, because if you recall, Abaye was the one who identified Rabbi Shim ben Elazar and Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel the first as Chadashita. But when we get to Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel the second, that's where, according to Abaye, there is Tumas Shrotzim in Sharminim. Again, only Tumas Shrotzim, but it means that if you have an Orig of Shalosh Etzbos and it comes into contact with the Sheretz, then according to the second Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, it would be Mekabel Tuma. Then we move on to Rava. Again, this is Rava before he changed his mind. And with regard to Sharminim, Rava understands that according to everyone in Negoim, it's not Mekabel Tuma. That's Kabbalas Tumas Negoim is exclusively limited to Tzemeru Pishtan. However, in Sharminim, according to Rava, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar would say that you need shloshal shlosha tfachim, and if you have shloshal shlosha tfachim, then in shar minim, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, it would be makabel tumashrotzen. However, according to Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, whether it be the first or the second, there is no tumashrotzen at all. Which is interesting, because in Abaye we said that according to the second Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, there is tumas magav shrotzim in shar minim, even in a small arig like sholosh al sholosh etzbos. But that's not true according to Rava, because Rava, before he changed his mind, he identified Tana de Rabbi Shmuel harishon with Tana de Rabbi Shmuel hasheni, and there's no tumas negoim and not even shrotzim in shar minim, and that stands in opposition to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who has tumas shrotzim at least in begadim v'shar minim, as long as you have shlosh al shlosh tefachim. Now we move over to Rava after he changed his mind, and in that from that perspective, Rava's final conclusion was that although in Semeru Pishtan there's no tumas negoim nor shrotzim outside of Tzemeru Pishtin. Well, I should really qualify. There's no Tumas Negoyim, at least outside of Tzemeru Pishtin. But with regard to Tumas Shrotzim of Maga, here we have, according to Rava's final conclusion, a total agreement. That means both Rav Shimon ben Elazar and Tana Beir Shmuel, and it means both Tana Beir Shmuel Arishan and Tana Beir Shmuel, that in Shar Minim, if you have a beged of an orig of Shloshal Shlosha Tfachim, then it's Makabel Tuma. And finally, we move over to just complete the process to Rav Papa and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. And they assume that, again, as we said over and over again, in the case of Semeru Pishtan, there is Tumas Negoim and Tumas Shrotzim in a small orig of Sholosh HaSholosh Etzbos. But as far as Shar Minim is concerned, then we're going to say the following, that as far as Tumas Negoim is concerned, there's no Tumas Negoim beyond Semeru Pishtan, right? And here, you know, here we're getting into that whole issue that we had according to, for example, Abaye in the second Tana of Rabbi Shmuel, that there is Tumas Shrotzim B'Mago in Sholosh Al Sholosh Etzbos. That's again only according to Rabbi Shmuel the second. And now what we're saying is that, okay, with regard to Tumas, if we go to Tumas Negoim, there is no there is no Tuma Bishar Minim, right, as far as Tumas Negoim is concerned. And in that sense, Abaye is perfectly comfortable with that, that there's no Tumas Negoim in Shar Minim. And basically that's the one, you know, the two, shall we say, sections here that are universal, that nobody questions, namely that as far as Tumas Negoim and Tumas Shrotzim are concerned, everybody agrees that in Semeru Pishtan there is Tumas, both Tumas Negoim and Tumas Shrotzim, if you have a beged of Sholosh Al Sholosh. Once we get to Shar Minim, that's where Abaye insisted that according to the second Tana de Beir Shmuel, you could have Tumas Shrotzim in Shar Minim. And according to Rava, that is true as well, at least according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, right, that there's Tumas Shrotzim b'maga b'sholosh al sholosh. However, now that we're going to Rav Papa and Rav Nachman, they're going to insist that, well, actually, they don't address the question of Shimon Elazar, so we could leave that as unknown. But what would be the story of Sharminim in Negoim? Again, that we said is unquestionable. Everybody agrees that there's no Tumas Negoim in Sharminim. But as far as Tumas Maga is concerned with Shrotzim, here Rav Nachman and Rav Papa are on board with Rava's Chazara, right? The second opinion of Rava, that we have to reconcile both Tanna Bei Rav Yishmael's, the first, and Tanna Bei Rav Yishmael, the second. And here we're going to insist, this is a little bit different than Rava, that Sholosh al Sholosh, that's both, and Sharminim is Mekabel Tumas Shrotzim, Tumas Maga, whereas Rava, after he changed his mind, he insisted it had to be Shlosh al Shlosh Tfachim in Sharminim. And that was true according to all the Tanoim. Okay, now let's get back to the question of what do we do with the extra Pasuk Asher Techasaba in the Parsha of Tzitzis. And the Gemara answers, Ahu la suye ksus suma hudios. It's coming to teach us that a blind person is chayev in Tzitzis on his beged. And Mimele, it's not free to teach me other minim as far as Tzitzis is concerned. Tisani, we learned in a brisa, ureisem oso. So the pasuk ureisem oso says prat l'ksus laila. If you have a ksus that you only wear at night, let's call it pajamas, so that's not included in the chiyuv of tzitzis. That's not ureisem oso. Ata omer prat l'ksus laila. How do you know it means ureisem oso is coming to exclude a garment that's worn at night? O eno, perhaps el prat l'ksus suma. Maybe it's teaching you that a suma who cannot see his tzitzis, he's potter from tzitzis. Kshu omer asher techaseba. And we said that those three words were extra in the pasuk. That's a ribui are ksus suma amur, coming to include the ksus of a suma that he's chayev in tzitzis. So mani mekayim, so what do I do with risimo? So prat l'ksus laila. So mori azuma ra'isa. I never understood when the Gemara uses the term of Mara Isa and when it uses my chazes. Mara Isa l'rabos, to use Ashet Chaseba for Ksusuma, and we're going to use Urisim also to exclude Lahotzi Ksus Laila. Why don't you do just the opposite? Why don't you take Ashet Chaseba to include Ksus Laila, and Reisim also is coming to exclude Ksusuma? The Gemara answers, Marba Ani, I'm going to use Ashet Chasaba to include Ksus Suma. Why? Because in this case, I'm not really excluding, I'm not contradicting the principle of Reisim also. And why is that? Shere Yeshna Beriya Itzal Acherim. Because even though the Suma does not have the capacity to see the Tzitzis, but others will see the Tzitzis, so we now have both Ashet Chasaba and Reisim also. Motzi Ani Ksus Laila, Shaina Beriya Eitzel Acherim, Af Eitzel Acherim, I would say, right? That there's no Re'iyah for anyone because it's at Laila. Again, this touches on a major machlokes in the Rishonim about what is Ksus Laila. Does it mean any Ksus at night that you wear, even if it's the Ksus Yom, that's the Rabban Shita, or no, the Rosh Hashita is that it means a Ksus that's dedicated to wear at night, like pajamas, even if you wear it by day. You know, in a certain sense, the Rambam has the upper hand over here because the Pashtus in the Gemara here is that Eina Re'iya, that Ksus Laila is Eina Re'iya. I mean, that makes sense if you're wearing it at night. Yeah, but the only problem is, according to the Rambam, the flip side is that it shouldn't be excluding Ksus Laila, because, I mean, it's not, the phrase Ksus Laila seems to indicate a Ksus that you generally wear at night. It could be even a Ksus Yom Balaila. Now the Gemara asks, how do you know that Asher Techaseba is coming to include Ksusuma V'yema L'Rabba Shar B'Godim? Right now, the whole thrust of what we were discussing here is that just like we had the Pasuk Obeged in the Parsha of Shrotzim to include Shar B'Godim that are not made of Tzemer of Pishton, why don't we use Asher Techaseba to include Shar B'Godim in Tzitzis? And the Gemara answers, Mistavra, the logical way of doing it is that Asher Techaseba Koy B'Tzemer U'Pishtan. It's referring to the Pasuk immediately contextually next to it. Because the Pasuk there says, Marbe right? It's talking about Tzemeru Pishtin, a koi. It's referring to Tzemeru Pishtin. And therefore, if I'm coming to be marba, I have to be marba within Tzemeru Pishtin. And that's going to be the ribui for a ksusuma. Now we're going to go back to the discussion about Tzchach. You may recall that back on Daf Chavav, we said that we'll have to come back to the discussion about Tzchach, and here's the place to do so. Rav Shimon Elazar says that Pishtan is excluded from Tzchach. It's disqualified. And the reason for that is because it's Mekabel Tumas Negoyim. Now here, Abaye is going to bring another Tana who actually agrees with Rav Shimon Elazar. I'm Abaye, Rav Shimon Elazar, v'sumchus omru dovarecha. So Simchus agrees that something that's Mekabel Tumas Negoyim is ipso facto excluded from Tzchach. Even though it's not Mekabel other Tumas, in other words, let's say, for example, Tumas Maga, right? Or let's say Tumas Maga v'Sheretz or Tumas Maga v'Mes, it would not become Tomei, because again, Tumas Negoyim is limited to. I'm sorry, I don't think I formulated that clearly. I apologize. Let me just go back on that sentence. What we're talking about is something that's Mekabel Tumas Negoyim is possible from Sukkah, even though that thing would not be Mekabel other Tumas. Okay, so that's going to be the discussion that we'll have here about what's called Shisi and Arev. So hold your horses and we'll try to explain this. So Rav Shimon Elazar Hodei Amoran. We saw in a Braisa that there's no Schach in Pishtan. Now notice that Rav Shimon Elazar did not say Beged Pishtan. So that we're not talking about a woven garment. He's coming to exclude even what's called Agudo Shel Pishtan. Agudo Shel Pishtan is Pishtan which was perhaps, you know, cleaned, but yet it wasn't at the stage in which you took the fibers of Pishtan, the cleaned fibers of Pishtan, and you wove them into Chutim. So you don't have the stage of threads yet. Or, for example, in general, let's say you have threads, but you haven't stitched them up together to make a beged. Here, we expand the din of Tumas Negoyim, and that's based on Shasi and Arev. In other words, even though you don't have in front of you a beged, nevertheless, if it has the the symptoms, it will be Tomei B'Tumas Negoyim. And it doesn't have other Tumas, because other Tumas require a beged. So the chiddush of the Torah in Negoyim is a unique chiddush in Negoyim derived from Shasi and Arev, that even Agudas Pishtan, which haven't yet formed into threads, or even threads that haven't yet been sewn and woven to form a beged, nevertheless they are Mekabel Tumas Negoyim, and therefore ipso facto they'll be excluded from Tzchach. So we're going to come to the conclusion that Agudo Shel Pishtan are not only Mekabel Tumas Negoyim, but they're also, by definition, posel from Tzchach. Correct? They are posel from Tzchach. And Sumchus. So where do you see the same thing in Sumchus? And the answer is, this Sanya, we have a braisa that Sumchus Omer Sichecha B'Tavui P'sula Mipnesha Metama B'Negoyim. So we have a Pishtan, let's say, has not been yet woven into a beged. It's now Tavui only at the level of Chutim. That's called Tavui. So we have threads of flax, but we don't have a beged yet. And yet, those threads cannot be used as Tzchach. And the reason for that is because it's Metame B'Negoyim. It's Mekabel Tumas Negoyim. So that's exactly what we saw in Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And we can also talk about an earlier stage. He's talking about a stage of Tavui, it was already made into threads, but it hasn't yet made it to Beged. But we can take it even one step further, even before it became Tavui, even before it was made into threads. And that's going to be something called, in the language of the Shas, that's going to be called Unin Shel Pishtan. Unin Shel Pishtan is already a very early stage in the process of making a beged. It's even earlier than the stage of making the threads from which you're going to weave a beged. And when Simcha says the word Tavui here, it's only teaching us that immediately after Tviya, it's going to be Mekabel Tumas Negoyim, and therefore it's excluded from Schach, even before Libun. And we're going to talk in Mirtz Hashem about Libun. In the case of Aguda Shel Pishtan, there we might have to wait until after Libun, as we'll soon see. That's according to Shitas Rashi. Tosdim Ramaschil Rebbe has a different Shita. The Gemara says Keman. In other words, according to which Tana in the following Mishnah Negoyim does Sumchus maintain that Pishtan, even if it's what? If it's only at the stage of Chutim, of Tavi L'Chutim, it becomes, number one, Tamei, it's Mekabel Tumas Negoyim, and number two, it's going to be Pasul Schach. Now, the thrust of this is that we're talking about Chutim before Libun, and that's called Chutei Hashasi, because whenever you see the word Tavui, you assume it means before Libun. Now, we'll talk a little bit about the Mishnah in Negoyim. This is in the 11th Perek of Negoyim. And we're talking about something called Pekas, which we said, if you recall, a few days ago, is a coil. You know, it's the threads of Pishtan before you actually weave them together. And if you have something of Chutei Shasi V'Orev, and again, we're talking about Semer Pishtan, if you recall, then it's Metami Begodim Miyad, Divrei Rabbi Meir, which means immediately after you have these Chutim, then it's Mekabel Tumas Negoyim, and then we're going to add, of course, the Psul Schach as a result. That's Rabbi Meir. But Rabbi Yehuda says, Hashsi, in the case of Shasi, then, which is in the Rochav, right, then you need Mishi Yishla. Okay, what does Mishi Yishla mean? Mishi Yishla means what they used to do is, after they made the threads of fiber, from the fiber of flax, they used to cook it in a big cauldron called the Yorah in Hebrew. And as they cooked it, it became libun, it became white, lilabno, it became white. Ha'orev, that's tameh miyad. That doesn't need libun, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. So once you have the chutim of orev, then, and the orev, just one second, the chuti, the shasi is the orech, and the, I always get these two confused, the shasi is the orech, and the orev is the rochav, right, like a tic-tac-toe, as we explained it. So what happens is, darkom hoysa levashel es hashasi bamayim, they would take these long, and I shouldn't say long, but the vertical chutim would go into the water. Kideshi slabnu yofa al yudei bishul, and the shasi had to be whitened through this process of bishul, and that's called the gemar meleches shasi. As far as chutei orev is concerned, they wouldn't cook that, and therefore the orev is makabel tum immediately, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. We don't have to wait for libud. And the machlokas here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about Shasi, whether it's Mekabel Tumas Negoyim in that raw state of chukim, of chutim, even before you cook them to be malabing them, that machlokas is explained by the Bar Tenura in the Goyim there in, on the Mishnah in Perkut Aleph, and he says that Rabbi Yehuda darshans the pasuk that says bebeged semer o bebeged pishtim, and then it says o bishasi o biarev. And ma beged shenigmar malachto, just like beged at the beginning of this pasuk is after gmar malacho, after you've already woven it into a beged, af shasi viarev mishatigmar malachto. And tigmar balachta means, in the case of shasi, that's the maleches libun through the bishul process. But Rabbi Meir holds that it says o shasi, o bishasi, and the o separates it from what came before it, and there's no hekesh to beg it, and therefore these are mekabel tum immediately after they are made into threads, even before you take the shasi chutim and throw it into the cauldron to make it white. Then it says in the same Mishnah in the Goyim, Ve'ha'unin, we are otherwise known as Agudo Shal Pishtan. So this is even before you made him into Chutim, and now it's a different kind of Gemar Malacha. You're talking about Niputs, which means that you beat them and until you remove those fibers that have to be removed, is then Mishi Slabdu. They need a different kind of process, not in a cauldron to bake them. They need to be put into the oven in order to be made white. Those are the agudos shalpishtan that are really raw, natural. They haven't even been made into threads. Now, sumchus we identify with Rabbi Meir, and it means that shasi, even shasi, is metame immediately after it became threads, and you don't need to wait till Mishi Slabnu. Like, so that's Rabbi Meir, and that's also Sumchus, and therefore they're possible for Schach, because the Mekabel Tumas Negoin. So let's take a look at the next Mishnah here on the bottom of Chof Zayin Amid Beis. The Mishnah is going to continue to tell us about the various wicks and oils that were excluded from Hadlokas Ner Shabbos. And Agav Urcha, the Mishnah also gives us a klal that seems to parallel this din in Shabbos with regard to Tumas Oel. And the Mishnah says, Kol Yotzi Min Ha'Eitz Ein Madlikim Bo Ela Pishtan. So now, let's take as far as the psul of Ner Shabbos. We're talking about making wicks for Ner Shabbos, in this case from Yotze Min Ha'Eitz, the product of a tree, which is called canvas, otherwise known as canvas. And these are not good wicks for Shabbos because the fire sort of jumps, and it's not ola yofa when you use these psilos, with the only exception of some wicks that are made from the substance of the tree is pishtan, because in the case of pishtan, even though it's made from a tree, it's valid for psilo l'ner Shabbos, and we don't assume it's going to be misachseches, it's going to be jumping around, but rather the ner is the esh is ola yofa. And now, just Agav Urcha, the Mishnah wants to tell us that once you're discussing the psilos of ner Shabbos, let's talk about ohel. Now, an ohel, which has inside of it a corpse, a mess, is not only does everything else inside that ohel become tame, but the ohel itself is also going to contract tuma. And the Torah says in Parshas Chukas, Vehiza al ha'ohel, v'al kol ha'kelim v'al nefash shahoysham. So you see that the ohel itself needs hazzah. Now, what constitutes an ohel that receives tuma? No, anything that serves to cover over the mess, it will bring tuma to the anything else inside that oil. But as far as the oil per se, you know, the tent itself and its material becoming tame is called yotzi min ha'etz ein mitame tuma soholim. So if the oil was made from some sort of wood substance, and you know, every time you make an oil, you sort of lock it down with pegs, you know, to connect it to the ground. So here too, as Tosfos in Masechta Yevamim points out, that we're talking about Yotzim and Eitz that was made into an oil, and now it was Mechubar LeKarka. And underneath this oil, inside this oil, we have a mess. It's Eino Mitami Tumas Ohola. That oil itself does not contract Tuma. Again, as far as conveying Tuma is concerned, then certainly it would convey Tuma. And let's say you had Kalim inside the oil, they would contract Tuma. And Pishtan, El Pishtan, that's going to be the exception to the rule. That even though Pishtan is Yotzim and Eitz, nevertheless, if you made an oil out of Pishtan and there was a mess inside that oil, then the oil itself made of Pishtan would also contract Tumah. So you'd have to do a Tvilah and then Hazah of May Efer Para to purify such an oil. Now, as we complete this Mishnah, we have to make two important points. Number one, the Gemara later on is going to derive a Gzeirah Shavah from the Oel in Mishkan to the Oel that's Mekabel Tumas Oel. And in the case of the Oel in the context of the Mishkan that we used to cover the Gag of the Mishkan, those are the only substances which would be Mekabel Tumas Oel. So Mishkan to Oel, that's the equation. Now in the case of Mishkan, we have Semer, Pishtan, and Oros Behema. All the three above were used in the Mishkan. And therefore, the Tana could basically have said that anything that's not one of those three minim of Semer, Pishtan, and Oros is not Mitame. But Agav Urcha, he wants to tell us a klal that connects to Adlokas Ner Shabbos, and that is the exceptional status amongst the Yotzim and Eitz of Pishtan. So Pishtan now is representative of a class, of a group, membership of which is any substance with the exception of Tzemer Pishtan and Oros Behema. All the rest, like Pishtan, are excluded from Oel. Well, I should say all the rest, but not Pishtan, right? Kol Yotzim Min HaEitz, Einem Itami Tumas Oholim. So anything that's, even if it's not Min HaEitz, it's excluded from Tumas Oholim if it's not one of those three categories. But in the case of Pishtan, if you make an Oel, then if the mess is inside that Oel of Pishtan, the Pishtan contracts Tumah. Now we want to point out that in Masechta Olos, in the 16th chapter, it says that Kol HaKelim HaMahilim Al HaMes Nitmoy MeHaMes. It's interesting that now we're expanding Kelim that are on top of the mess, and we're not limiting it in any way to those three categories of Tzemer, Pishtan, and Oros Behema. L'chora, that's against the Mishnah. So if you look at Tosfos Divrei Masechta Yevamim on the bottom here of the Amud, he says that our Mishnah is talking about a kli that's mechubar lekarka, and if it's mechubar lekarka, even though it was made as a beged initially, and if it would be mal al mes, it would be nitba, but once he's mechubar lekarka, he's mafki, he's mevatel the Torah's beged, and it's not nitma with the exception of Pishtan. That Pishtan, even when it's mechubar lekarka, contracts tumah b'tumas oholim, and that we're going to derive also from Gzeirah Shavah to Mishkan. But we said that in Mishkan we had the three cases of oholim that we used in the Gag of the Mishkan, and that includes Pishtan as one of the three. It's also Tzemer and Oros. So in these cases, even though he's mechaber them to karka, nevertheless they're nitma b'tumas oholim, and that's derived from the Gzeirah Shavah to Mishkan. Now the Gemara asks the following question: Minolan de Pishtan Ikrei Eitz. the Mishnah assumes that Pishtan is included under Eitz, and therefore it would have been excluded from Ner Shabbos if not for this special inclusion here. And as a Mechubel Karka, it would not be Mekabel Tumas Oel, if not for the fact that this is Chutz Mi Pishtan, that we have that Gezeirah Shavah and Pishtan, even in the case of Mechubel Karka, it is Mekabel Tumas Oel. And this is despite the fact that Pishtan is called Eitz. It's called Eitz. Now, how do we know that Pishtan is called Eitz? It's really a min zera. And the Gemara answers, Omer Arzutra, the Omer Kroy, as a pasuk in the Parsha at the beginning of Yoshua, the Meraglim, who came to Rochav, and she hid them up on the roof. It says, "Vehi elosam hagago vatitmenem," and she hid them v'pishte ha'etz. So it has the word pishte and it has the word ha'etz, and that tells us that pishtan is called yotze min ha'etz. Now the Mishnah tells us that yotze min ha'etz eino mitami tumas oholam el pishtan, and the Gemara asks that minolan. How do we know this? On Rabbi Lazar, Gomar, Ol, Ol. We have Gzeir Shavuot, Ol, Ol. And here, we're going to turn to Daf. Excuse me for a second here. The pages are stuck here. To Daf, Chav Ches, Amid Aleph, Mi Mishkan. So this is the Gzeir Shavuot from Mishkan that we mentioned earlier. Ksiv Hocha. It says here with regard to Tumas Oel in Parshas Chukas, it says Zosa Torah Adam Ki Yomuspa Oel Ksiv Hosam, with regard to erecting the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu in Shmos Perek Mem, it says Vayifros Es HaOel Al HaMishkan. Again, the word HaOel is Mala Halon, just like in the case of the Mishkan, is Pishtan Karui Oel. In other words, things that come from the Eitz are not called Oel, and are not used to cover the Mishkan, with the exception of Pishtan. That's the only one which is Yotzi Min Ha'etz, and yet is considered Oel as far as Melechus HaMishkan is concerned, is Afkan. So too, with regard to Oel, the only thing that's Yotzi Min Ha'etz, and yet's Mekabel Tumas Oel, is going to be Pishtan, because Pishtan is called Oel by virtue of the equation to Mishkan. In Mishkan it says V'yasa Mishkan ta'aseh eser yiriyot sheish mashzor, and we're talking about Pishtan, because the word sheish means Pishtan, and they were used on the gag of the Mishkan. There were different coverings over the gag of the Mishkan. The lowest covering was made from the yiriyot of chutei Pishtan, and also from three different types of tzemer, which is called Tchelos Agamon and Talas Shani. On top of that, there was a covering that was made from tzemer Izim, and on top of that, there was a covering made from Oros Elim Me'adomim and Oros Tchashim. The Gemara now asks, Imala Hanon Shizurin V'chutan Kofful Shishaf Kan Shizurin Vechutin Kofful Shisha. How far are we going to go with this Gzereshov of Oel Oel to equate Oel and Tuma with the Oel of Mishkan? Shall we say that just like in the case of Mishkan, we need Chute Pishtan that were made into Urios? They were Shizurin, and they were woven and combined together, intertwined, I guess you'd say. And they were not only intertwined to make these chutei pishtan, but they were chuton kafel shisha. Every chut itself was made of six different chutim that were intertwined, that were shizurim. So maybe we should assume that only that if you have shizurim, then which is kafel shisha, then and only then is the pishtan considered an ol as far as tumas oholim. Gemara answers, Talmud Lomar, in the parish of Tumas HaMes in Chukas, it says Oel, Oel, repeatedly. And that's a ribui. And that ribui is coming to teach me that even if it's not chutim shizurim, and it's not a chut that's kafel shisha, nevertheless it's considered an ol, and it becomes tamei v'tumas oholim. Now the Gemara is going to ask a whole list of questions on this, but this I think we'll leave for tomorrow. And we're here on Daf Chav Ches Amid Aleph, and we're up to E Ol Ol Riba is Kol Mile Nami, which means that we should be, the Gemara is going to argue that we should be Marbe even Oholim that are made of other Minim that weren't used in the Mishkan based on the multiplicity of the word Ohel. So that will pick up Mirz Hashem in the next Shia.